With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And welcome aboard. Good Saturday morning. Got a great outdoor show planned for you for the next 2 hours. And I hope you're drying out after the Gulf Coast. Well, we really got a week-long drenching here. And maybe you got some fishing, whether it's freshwater, saltwater, offshore, or turkey hunting plans, because a beautiful second half of the weekend and all next week looks really good. Taking a quick look at the radar right now, most of the rain has left the Louisiana area. It's still in the Gulf Coast. It's approaching Mobile Bay, extends back to about Gulfport. Only other showers at all, and this is really just a drizzle. It extends from Lafayette over by Lake Charles. But other than that, the Gulf Coast map looks pretty clear at the moment. Of course, that, of course, is always subject to change. Well, we've got another season that opened up this week. I'm talking about the Louisiana legislative season, or session, some call it. And we're going to be talking over the next few weeks about some bills that might affect you as an outdoor sports person. This morning, we're going to hear from Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Undersecretary Brian McClinton. He's going to talk about some proposed changes in your Louisiana hunting and fishing license. And, well, you can imagine, they're not proposing them to go down, but raise the cost. And he'll explain to you why it's necessary and what they plan on doing. In the meantime, if you have any questions or an opinion about license increase, text that to us. Our text message line is 504-260-1870. We also have a report to share with our listeners, our outdoor comments or questions. Please put that line to good use. In fact, another use for it, I've got a choice to make on Bad Boy Features this morning. I've got two stories. Both involve animal abusers. One is as far away as California. The other is as close as La Place. So use that text line and vote for the one you'd like to hear first. Next week I'll get to the other one, but if you want to hear the one from California, let me know that. Or the other one is as close as La Place, let me know that. That's 504-260-1870. And a little bit later on I'm going to be talking about some more proposed changes to expand hunting opportunities. When's the last time you heard that? And if you hunt on a national wildlife refuge, and we've got several of them here in Louisiana, they are offering up for the public to comment on some changes that will actually expand seasons and species, and I'll tell you where you can see all that information and how to have your comments heard. We're also going to get a live report this morning, live from the oldest kayak tournament in Louisiana, Paddlepalooza, 17 years and going strong. Brendan Bayard is participating. It looks like that weather, although there's going to be some dirty water to contend with, at least the rain and the wind doesn't look like it will be as bad as it's been for most of this week. So we'll talk to Brendan about that. And on a sad note, we say goodbye to a lady. I consider her to be the first lady of Louisiana fishing. Kay Florain will tell you about her passing and give you a little bit of background. In fact, if you want to check out on our Bayou Wild Facebook page, we've got some highlights from a fishing trip she and I went on a few years ago. All that's still to come. Plus, we got a pinch hitter for Robbie Campo coming up next. Glenn Sanchez, familiar voice on this show, will be back with us to report on the St. Bernard area. He'll do that right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, normally you'd be hearing from Robbie Campo at this time on a Saturday morning. Robbie is turkey hunting in Kentucky, and a pretty wise decision to make. Filling in for him is Glenn Sanchez, a voice often heard many years ago for a long, long time, previous owner of the Breton Sound Marina, and he knows of what he speaks when it comes to fishing the St. Bernard area. Glenn, you know, we used to always say, man, people work all week and the weather's gorgeous, fishing conditions are good, and the weekend gets here and it all goes to hell. Well, looks like we got the opposite this week. Maybe just in time, that rainy weather's moved off. However, I'm sure it's leaving us with some dirty water conditions, following some of those almost, you know, that were like tropical storm and hurricane gusts that came along with that stuff. How's St. Bernard recovering right now?
Well, Don, good morning, first of all. St. Bernard's doing fine. I mean, we didn't have too much problems down here. I mean, but the wind was outrageous, and the water's high. So when the water's high, it doesn't get as dirty as quick as when it's low. So I really haven't been out in the last couple of days to see the clarity of the water because the weather's been so bad. But Monday, people caught fish Monday. I think Monday was the only day that you could actually fish because the rest of the week was really bad. But they caught fish Monday. They caught fish. Robbie told me they caught fish by the dam Monday on both sides of the dam. And when I say fish, I'm talking trout. You know, I mean, you can catch the redfish and the sheephead and the drum regular basis, but the trout is starting to show up now. And he said down the channel, some of the cuts, they caught some fish. By the junk pile, they caught some trout. So it's starting to turn on. We need some more shrimp to show up, and things will pop. It'll get right real quick.
Does the marina have any live bait?
They have a little bit. It's very sparingly because the shrimp, they didn't have shrimp all year this year because we had all that cold weather. And it kind of ran them out or killed them, one or the other. And they just not as thick as they want. It's not worth dragging on. And the brownies haven't shown up yet. I mean, they might have shown up right now, but they're so small, they're whiskers and eyeballs.
Well, yeah, and probably, you know, you really couldn't get out with this weather we've had. Glenn, drawing on your experience from fishing all those years down there, what would be some of the spots where you think you might find the cleanest water? My guess would be maybe that Stump Lagoon, Pete's Lagoon area, get back up in that marsh, and, you know, we got a north wind and about a foot and a half tide range, so it's going to be some moving water, but if you get the further back you get in there, I think the cleaner you're going to find it. What do you think?
Without a doubt, the tighter you get into the marsh, the water will stay clean because the wind can't beat it up. Because I mean, that's what we're fortunate here in Hopedale. We have marsh over here left. You know, some places the marsh is disappearing. Delacroix, it's disappearing so quick, it's crazy. You know, but you can still find some clean water, and you know, we got some spots like along the channel, like in Gallego, they got a lot of grass. And that grass helps keep that water clean, too.
No doubt. Yeah, you know, I think the difference between the Hopedale, Shell Beach area, and the Delacroix, those marshes, Delacroix's got much more of a fresh tint to it, which means that the vegetation is going to be different. You get that oyster grass, that stuff, you can't pull it out there. It withstands storm and erosion a lot better. So I think in the scheme of things, those marshes will certainly hold up a lot longer than a brackish, freshwater-type marsh would when it's in a saltwater environment.
Well, when I was down at the marina, we had guys that came down there to survey the marshes all over Louisiana. And they said that the Biloxi Marsh was the healthiest marsh in Louisiana. That's what they told me. Biloxi Marsh, the healthiest marsh in Louisiana.
I believe it. Yeah. Glenn, before you go, I understand, you know, we used to call you Sanchez and Son, you and Jonathan, the professional guide. Jonathan's got a lodge down there now. Am I hearing that right?
Yes. Him and Giacomo, they built the lodge, and they're pretty doggone busy. When the weather's right, they pop in, so, and they... Well, he amazes me because I'll go out sometimes and I'll come back and I'll have a few fish and he'll have tons of fish. And it's like, how do you do that, son? But, you know, he goes a lot further than I go. I can't go on the outside anymore. There's too many speed bumps for me.
But, you know, I fished with him a lot over the years. And he's just one of those guys, you know, that I don't know whether he's got this seventh sense. He can sense where there's fish and where to find them. He's just gifted with that. It's a talent that he was born with.
Well, he makes me proud. Let me put it to you that way. He really makes me proud because the customers seem to really enjoy fishing with him. And most of the time, and I say most of the time, he's coming home with fish. You know, he's
well, he takes care of his customers. He takes care of his customers. They come first on his boat. What's the name of him in Giacomo's Lodge? What's the name of it?
They call it the Shell Pad.
Ah, that's neat.
It's called the Shell Pad. It's probably about half a mile from Blackie's on the same road, and it's a big blue camp. It's beautiful. Heck, when you're ever down that way, make sure you call somebody so we can show it to you because it's beautiful on the inside. It sleeps.
I'm planning on it.
What's that?
I said I'm planning on stopping down there and checking it out.
Oh, yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. And then, you know, they got the boat slips out front, and they got four boats that work on a regular basis. They stay busy.
That's convenient. I'm glad for him. Yeah, you should be. Glenn, thanks for filling in for Rob. Is he going to be back next week with a big turkey, or are you doing this again?
No, he's going to be back next week. I don't know about a big turkey, but, you know, I asked him last time I saw him how many different types of turkeys there were. And he told me there's four different types, and the only one I knew was the butterball.
That may be the best. Yeah, well, he's on a roll after that trip to Florida with those Osceolas. They came back and both of them bagged one, so I'm sure he'll do well in Kentucky and weather's looking good. Well, tell everybody hello from me, and we hope to see you again and talk to you soon. Thanks for the report, Glenn. Always appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Don. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Glenn Sanchez of Sanchez and Son. Jonathan Sanchez, that's his son, professional guide, great guy. All right, we come back after this. Jeff Brule's got a freshwater report. A lot of you may be catching freshwater fish in your backyard. My horse is wearing knee boots. We had so much rain. We'll be back. You'll listen to the Outdoor Show with me, Don Dubuque. And Jeff Brule's Freshwater Fishing Report is a presentation of Berkley, a division of Pure Fishing. You know them for the Berkley line of those great gulp baits for the white perch, bass, inshore, offshore, saltwater, lines of all type, mono, braid, fluorocarbon. And if it's for fishing, Berkley has it, a division of Pure Fishing. And I received information this week they have now acquired Plano Products, the makers of those legendary tackle box products. Congratulations to Berkley and Pure Fishing. Well, Jeff, you took kind of a tour on white perch fishing recently. Tell us how that went for you.
Yeah, a good road trip. I went with Dr. Glenn Spell, and he kind of took me on an adventure. We went and fished a couple of different places around Vidalia Faraday area, just west of Natchez, Mississippi. And there's just tons of white perch lakes up there, but the problem was we had the bad weather start last week, and it rolled in the day we went. Some of the lakes got pretty high and muddy. But we caught some fish, and it was an experience because our first stop was Horseshoe Lake near Monterey, and the perch are in the what they call buttonwood bushes, and it was just tough fishing. It's almost like fishing the canes in Venice. You had to pull the jig into the tip of your rod and stick that into the bushes and then drop it down. And when you got a bite, you had to get the fish out of the cover. It was just tough to land. The lake had come up about 2 feet, which also made it more challenging. Had to find the fish again. The next day we hit the docks in the Lake St. John, and it was a little different fishing. They had to do the shooting of the jig technique under some of the pole, some of the docks. And then they'll use like a 13-foot pole and do the same thing. Pull the jig up into the tip of the rod, stick it up under there and drop it down. But the fish are just so much bigger up there than we have here at home. And right now the rivers are so swollen here, it's hard to catch anything. But you go over there, tip it with a crappie nibble, drop it in the bushes, and you can do pretty good. The bass fishing was tough. I got a report they had a little club tournament. St. John had a 14-pound, two-day wait to win the tournament. So that just tells you that the weather really impacted the fishing. But in that area up there around Natchez, there's tons of lakes to go fish and a lot of big white perch to catch.
Toledo Bend, Been hot for bass lately.
Yeah, that's another good road trip if you want to go. You know, you can kind of sneak out between some of the storms. The reports are very good over there on the lake. The shad spawn's starting to start, so the schooling fish are showing up. That's something you got to keep your eye on. You can throw big topwater baits. Normally we just rig up with braid on a pole and try to cast as far as we can, because sometimes they'll come up for just a second and you have to be ready and catch them. And sometimes if you get too close to them, you spook them, so you want to make long casts if you see schooling fish. And another thing is the frog. They catch a lot of fish on the frog around the bushes, on the bank, and in other cover when you find it in the water. And then also the weightless presentation, like the jerk shads and cinkos and wacky worms are working. They're going to have another spawn probably with all this cold weather we've been having this winter. It's kind of delayed some of the spawns. So you should have another spawn in the next week or so. So really make it a great place to go over there and visit. Hopefully next week the rain will get out of here and we can get back to some nice days of fishing.
We're talking with Jeff Brew. Jeff, for people fishing in those buttonwoods, a lot of places that have that, and some other places that have other type of bushes along the shoreline where those fish use that habitat. Give us some tips for fishing in those areas.
Yeah, I had to learn. You know, you kind of learn the hard way. They throw you into the briar patch because it was tough. I lost a lot of fish the first day. But a few tips, you try to determine what kind of depth the fish are holding at. You might be sitting in 8 foot of water and the fish are only 4 foot down, so just leave out 4 foot of line, and so when you drop it down, the line's all the way through your guides and then just straight into the reel. And that way you don't have it in your hand and you're trying to yo-yo back and forth with your hand and the rod. When a bite occurs, I lost some fish because I didn't realize I pulled the fish up to the tip of the rod, and that almost acted like a catfish flipper. That fish would just come off as soon as I do that. So try to leave out about 3 or 4 inches at the end of your rod, and then you just drag the fish out with your pole. And then another thing, you have to kind of learn how to set the hook. Instead of jerking your rod up, you just pull the line, and that sets the hook. And instead, if you miss the fish and you jerk the rod, you just hang up in the bushes, and you got to retie and start all over again. So it was a good learning curve, but it was an experience. It's just something different. I hadn't done that here. Something I had to try to look into doing and find some bushes and stuff to flip into, because it was gnarly fishing, and it, like I said, it was full contact fun.
No better way to learn than from someone who has been there and done it. And it sounds like you got a good lesson in it. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for the report. As always, we'll catch up with you next time. Good luck on your fishing. Let's hope this water runs out of these rivers real quick with this north wind.
Yeah, I'm done tired of it. It's so much. The last 6 months, the fishing time I've been on the water is probably half of what it was the year before. So it's just a pain to deal with all this rain.
Make up for that lost time. Thanks again, Jeff. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Don.
There he goes, Jeff Brule. All right, coming up, your hunting and fishing license fees may be raised. Joining us to talk about why and how they plan to do that, Brian McClinton, Undersecretary for Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Back with him right after this. Well, the Louisiana legislature is in session, and as such, we're going to be talking about some issues that would affect you, the Louisiana sportsmen, that have gone to the legislature for approval or disapproval, and you, the public, can comment to your elected officials and let them know how you feel about these things. One of those issues is the increase in Louisiana wildlife and fisheries hunting and fishing licenses. And join us to talk about this is the Undersecretary for the Department, Brian McClinton. Brian, thanks for getting up so early, and I'm sure you're not going to be one of the most popular people having to deliver this message because nobody wants fees to go up. But if you would, tell us why it's necessary. And also, I've got a texter in the Lafayette area who brings up a very good question, and you can answer this, saying it's been reported there was an increase in sales of fishing licenses due to the COVID shutdowns, stay-at-home mandates. Why are they wanting to raise license fees? And they're right. There's been an increase in sales of hunting and fishing because people have just had more time and they've been able to go outdoors instead of indoors events. Why is that not enough to take care of the problem?
Hey, Don, thank you for having me on. So, kind of jump on both of those questions. We haven't changed fishing and hunting license since 2000. We haven't addressed commercial fishing licenses since the mid-80s. So just the cost of a certain license right now to is based on value from 21 years ago. So when we saw the uptick, and he's 100% correct, looking at the last 5 years, our recreational hunting and fishing license sales have been kind of trending downward. And last year in February, we were on that same downwards trend. When COVID hit and stay-at-home order, we did uptick, but we ended up with, I think, about $16.8 million. The year before was 16.7. So we did tick up from the year before, but 5 years ago, we were at $18 million in recreation hunting fishing license sales. So I guess, and that's the best year we've ever had as a department. And we are dependent upon oil and gas revenue on our WMAs. That makes up 2/3 of our budget. With the last 5 or 6 years, the trending and production has kind of been down. Our revenue in oil and gas has been dwindling from about $70 million a year to 13. So an uptick in license sales that ends up making $500,000-$600,000 is awesome to the department, but it doesn't make up a $7 million loss in oil and gas from the same year, the same 12 months, so to speak.
Part of this problem is that these license sales dollars are so extremely valuable because that's pretty much all we've got. Where other states get money put in from their general fund, we do not. Is there any legislation that is requesting that? I've always thought that everyone in this state benefits from healthy natural resources, even if you don't hunt or fish. If you eat seafood, you drink the water, you hike, you admire the beauty, I think you should pay your part. Is there any bills that have been brought forward to try to create something from the general fund to fund this agency?
No, sir, not yet. And you're 100% right. So I've looked at other states. Arkansas and Missouri get a dedicated sales tax. Texas started this thing where they get a dedication of sporting goods tax. So anything that's on hunting, it's almost like the excise tax that Pittman Robinson gets on hunting equipment and fishing equipment. That goes to their state parks division. Other states get lottery proceeds like Arizona, Oregon, and Minnesota, New Jersey. And so it's just our state, you know, we've been, because of oil and gas funding the department for 20 years, we haven't had to ask for a license increase. We haven't had to ask for additional revenue. It's just, you know, we've been able to sustain our fees. Other states, every other state around us has raised their fees outside of Arkansas, Missouri, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. That's the only state that haven't raised their hunting and fishing license fees since before 2000. And so we just haven't had to because we've had this other funding, and we don't want to raise fees. We don't want people to, you know, we don't want to burden our constituents, our users, but we're just at the point now that we can't exist with oil and gas the way it is without doing something to. And so it's like, well, let's look at our fees. Let's put it close to what the other southern states are around us, and let's, you know, and make that adjustment to where we're competitive with the states around us. It's not obnoxious. It shouldn't be a barrier to entry. It shouldn't stop people from hunting and fishing, and it drives additional revenue to the department.
Brian, I've got to take just a quick 10-second pause here. When we come back, though, I'd like you to talk about just typically what percentage or what increases will be implemented. People are going to know how much. So we'll do that right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. So, Brian, been 20 years since we've had an increase. What are the increases that are proposed? What, and we can't run them all down, and we'll tell people where they can find the complete list. But generally, what is it going to cost for, say, a basic fishing license, basic hunting? What will the change be?
Yes, sir. So a basic fish goes from $9.50 to $17. And that puts us equal to Florida, a little bit less than Texas, at the $17 range. So a basic hunt goes from 15 to 20, so it's a $5 increase there. The saltwater goes from 13 to 15. I'll make sure I say this right. But we're doing away with the big game license, and so we're just going to have a deer license, and that deer license is going to include your archery and your primitive. Your basic fish is going to include all your gear fees. So if you want to run crawfish traps, if you want to do hoop nets or slat traps, you don't have to buy those additional fees anymore. If you saltwater fish and you want to do some shrimp trawling while you're in your boat, you don't have to buy that additional gear fee anymore. So there, it does go up, but it does include additional privileges as well.
All right, Brian, we got to take a break here. When we come back, though, I can tell you I buy licenses in Kansas, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, North and South Dakota, and I got to tell you, Louisiana's got them all beat as far as the cost of it and for the limits that are allowed. But there's one stipulation that I think makes people, and I know from going over the years and talking about license fee increases, there's one thing that these Louisiana sportsmen that makes them object to license fees. And I'll tell you about that, and you can maybe address it when we come back. We'll talk with Brian McClinton, Undersecretary of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fish. If you'd like to text us a message about hunting and fishing license fees, it's 504-260-1870. We're back right after this. Our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is in dire need of funding to the point of could be some more cutbacks in programs, not being able to address some new issues. Brian McClinton, who is the Undersecretary of the Department, is talking with us about that. Brian, I got a text that came in, and someone said that we actually had a slight increase in the saltwater license a few years ago, which was true.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I remember about that increase. The thing that makes people skeptical that I've found over the years about increasing their license fees, it's not about the money. Believe me, when you look at the cost of no matter what it is, if you duck hunt, your lease, your turkey hunt, your fees, your equipment to fish, boats, motors, kayaks, the license is the lowest thing pretty much you're going to invest. What they're concerned about is the money not being used for the purpose it's intended for. And that last increase in that saltwater license, the Coastal Conservation Association helped get that passed. And the way they did that was insist that there was a sunset clause, where if that money did not go for the purpose it was created for, then it would end. The license will revert back to the original fee. I remember hearing, and the last I heard was in 2018, we had $65 million was diverted or stolen from our conservation fund, which is supposedly dedicated, but evidently some people have found some ways to circumvent that, and they take money from the fund that funds our Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Will this bill have any guarantees to the sportsmen of Louisiana that the money that they're going to self-impose a tax on them by supporting this will be used for the purposes intended? And if not, those license fees will revert. I think that would go so far in getting the public support for this.
Mr. DeVue, we haven't discussed that. I don't have a problem with the sunset on it or exactly what you're saying. Our the money that goes into conservation fund is constitutionally protected. I'd like to thank the citizens for voting for that. And then a couple of years after that, they voted to protect the artificial reef fund, which is $45 million of that was taken, came out of that fund, and then we got the constitutional protection on it. So now they can't just fund sweep out of it. Now, they are going to always be allowed to take 10% of if it's a time of year, if it's if the state's in a budget deficit, and that's just they could take 10% of any statutory dedicated money. But no, the money that was in 2013, the $7.50 was dedicated to the La Creole program that we use, and it funds our La Creole surveys that y'all see it's at the docks and the phone calls that you get to try to make sure we get a good count on fishing to where we have good harvest numbers and we can close snapper season within our allowable catch limits.
Is this written in stone fees, or can this be changed, and will it be changed? As it gets into the session, people are going to look at it and say, we support this change, but this is too much on this particular license. Is it an all-or-nothing bill is what I'm asking?
It's always – once we're basically drafting what we think is the best thing we can do. We have a group of people, a committee kind of sat at it, looked at what – the other states have, what the CPI index has been over the last, either 20 years or 35. And then we come up with the best proposal. We met with all the different NGOs, the Wild Turkey Federation, CCA, Ducks Unlimited, Delta, Charter Boat Association. We got their input. We met with the leaders of the Oyster Task Force and Shrimp Task Force. We made some adjustments based on that. And we said, okay, here's what we're proposing. And once it goes to the legislature, it's their bill at that point. And so, it can change, it can be a completely different bill when it comes out.
We've had to suffer some cuts in programs and personnel because of a lack of funding. What happens if this restructuring does not go through? What will be cut?
Yes. So, and thank you for asking that. That's one thing. A lot of people don't know that we get no general fund. We haven't got general fund since the year 2001. So we don't get general fund for our operations. And we you know, since 2018, the last time we came with this, we've been trying to cut costs where necessary or possible to extend our fund balance, because at that time we're living in a fund balance. We're actually spending more than we're making since oil and gas started trending down. And around 2016, that started, and it's still going on. And so we've cut back on travel, contracts, professional services, supplies. Every place we could cut has been cut. We've let go of there's these FTE positions. We're down 81. We're holding 71 vacancies. So we're actually down 152 people in the department since our secretary, Jack Monase, started in 2017. If we don't get this funding, then that's, you know, that's going to be where we're at. We're going to be existing at this lower employee level, trying to do all the things that we do. And a lot of people don't also realize that a lot's changed since 2000. You know, in the year 2000, we didn't have a LaCrua program. We didn't have, you know, the Get Out and Fish and community fishing programs. We didn't have an oyster hatchery. We didn't have giant carp. Giant Sylvania wasn't nearly the problem. On the wildlife side, feral hogs weren't a problem in 2000. We didn't have CWD to deal with. We didn't delist the black bear or deal with whooping cranes. So there's a lot that our banding efforts with the white-fronted goose and the geese and the blue-winged teal, all those programs are sort of, you know, and yeah, people can say, well, y'all shouldn't be doing those additional programs. But we also have to comment on all the CPRA master plan initiatives. We have to deal with we're part of the Watershed Council and all the other things to kind of be a voice for our users and, you know, in these management plans as well. So you're doing these additional things with 152 less people. It's hard. It's hard to do that. And more specifically, just on our enforcement side, we're down 22 agents. So we're looking at the end of this year to probably be down 30 with projected retirements. So, you know, that hurts when you only have 205 agents, normally 235. We'll be down to 205 agents statewide. That, you know, it hurts our ability to sort of keep the waterway safe and, you know, make sure that we're able to be everywhere we need to be. So,
no doubt. Brian, where can people find the list of the fee increases? Is it available?
Make sure it's on our website. I know that they put it on the we did a conservation conversation on Facebook Live. I know we had a link on that to it. So I will make sure if it's not on our website that it will be there so they can see it. And the PDF that we have shows not just the commercial boat and recreational changes, but it kind of shows what those include. And it also shows like privileges. So an example, like I said earlier, it's the deer goes from $14 to $15, basically. With that extra dollar, you get the $21 worth of privileges, or, you know, that are the archery and the primitive firearms.
Right.
So,
well, Brian, I wish we had more time to discuss this, and I want to reserve the right to get you back on here after it gets into session, it's introduced, and it starts getting. It's a very, very, in practice, the most important issue for sportsmen to consider this entire session. And thanks for joining us and explaining it, and look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, sir.
All right, back with Captain Darryl Carpenter, Grand Isle Report, right after this timeout. And we talked to Captain Darryl Carpenter. Darryl, two things I'd like you to cover in this morning's report. Number one, how is Grand Isle doing? We had some hurricane force winds and some damage down there. And number two, both as a fisherman and a charter boat guide, what do you think about license fee increases?
Well, Don, I mean, it kind of amazes me. I mean, we had our own damage from Tuesday's storm. So a lot of our efforts and a lot of our time has been spent right here in the yard trying to get all of our stuff ready. So I haven't done a lot of traveling up and down the island, even though it's only, 9 miles long. But it kind of amazes me every time I do venture out for groceries or whatever. It seems like I see different damage every time I do get out. So, yeah, I don't want to sound like this was a Zeta or anything like that, but there's pretty significant damage in pockets here and there on the island, and a lot of it is marine-related damage, boats flipped over and that type of stuff. We had some of the same situation simply because this was not warm. I mean, nobody knew to anchor their boats down or you know, tie them to pilings or get them the heck off of this island before we got 130 mile an hour winds. So yeah, there's some damage. We spent all week trying to get our stuff back ready and running, and we're there. As far as license fees, I will tell you that Brian McClinton is great. If anybody's got any questions, guys, he will answer your questions. He will meet with you. He will all of this other stuff. I mean, he will communicate with you on this. We've suggested some changes. They've taken our suggestions. They've done it from the charter boat side. I think they need an operating budget. I'm like you, tying it to something as flexible as oil and gas, trying to set a budget on something as flexible as oil and gas is just doesn't work. I mean, you can't plan it with the price volatilities. I think they need an increase or a more stable environment for income so that they can have a budget. But at the same time, I think the department as a whole right now has a little bit of a PR problem. I think they have a little bit of a communication problem sometimes. I mean, we've got several boards and commissions, the commission alone, and all where several recommendations and all have been made. And, you know, just it just isn't going real well right now, I guess you'd have to say. So I think pitching that sale is going to be a little bit tough for them.
Yeah, it is, but it's kind of a catch-22. You can't improve things if you don't have proper funding. And I think the key to this whole thing is things that you and I have talked about, two of them. One, a true dedication, where that money absolutely cannot be stolen from the conservation fund. That would give people faith in putting their dollars to where it's going to do some good. Sportsmen don't have a problem paying their way. But when they feel like they put up the money and it's stolen for other purposes and it's not used for the purpose they were told, they're not going to support it. But it's just starting out. We've got a long way to go, and we'll see what happens with it. But one thing I can tell you, the department desperately needs the money. Now, how and where it comes from, that's what's got to be determined.
Right. And hey, what we've got to look forward to is the clouds are supposed to break come Monday.
Yeah, enjoy it, my friend, while we got it. Thanks, Darrell. We appreciate it.
Have a good
day. All right, I'll get to all your texts coming back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two. What we'll be doing, of course, we got a live report on the scene at Paddlepalooza, and we'll be talking to Brendan Bayard. Also got reports from some of our other field reporters. We're taking text messages in with regard to the license fee increase. You just heard Brian McClinton of Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries talk about it. If you got a comment, question, got a report, 504-260-1870. And looking at our text messages, we got Justin in the Gentilly Refuge. And Justin says his pretty neighbor, who he has a crush on, has two bird feeders, more birds than people in the French Quarter. Well, yeah, this is a big time for birders. We've got, you know, the birds that are returning, headed back up north. Some are still here from their migration. Probably no bigger a population of birds in the state than during this month. And Justin, you got to do something about that pretty neighbor. You got to crush on. You got to go over there and meet her and at least find out her name. All right, we're also asking you, which bad boy do you want to hear about? Our bad boys from Laplace or our bad boy from California? Looks like Laplace is in the lead, but continue to text and we'll give one this week and one next. We also have this from the Lafayette Yakker. He's there at Paddlepalooza, wishing luck and good conditions. Even the frog lawyer is there. That's good to hear. We got this one. If we can get rid of John Bell Edwards, we get rid of Louisiana's biggest problem. Well, I don't know if we can blame him for license Department of Wildlife and Fisheries not being properly funded. That's up to the legislature and to the sportsmen, the population. Here's one that says, by raising hunting and fishing license, it will increase poaching. Not so sure about that. The cost of getting a ticket is certainly going to be more than the cost of getting a license. And we have this one, increases in cost of retirees and lifetime license. Yes, they are. The proposed lifetime license would now be for a senior, and I still think this is a bargain, $100 for a youth, $500, that's an increase, and for a resident, it would be $1,000 for a lifetime license, and for a non-resident, $4,000. Most states do not even sell a lifetime non-resident license. I got to tell you, I bought my lifetime license right when they started back in 2000, so I've had it for 21 years, and I've saved a lot of money. But I didn't have time, but I wanted to mention to Brian McClinton, I made a prediction back then that instead of taking that money and investing it in something that would produce more revenue, they burned through it. And I think they continue to do that today. Instead of pacing that, what it costs them every time somebody buys a resident or non-resident lifetime license fee, they go through that money, and there's no more money they get from that person for the rest of their life. That's why it's so important to escrow that money and get some return on it, because the federal matching dollars is where a large portion of the funding comes from. For every dollar of license sales, we get so much back from the federal government in hunting and fishing license revenues. So, you know, unless that needs to change. They need to take those lifetime license sales, and instead of burning it up, and I realize they need it badly, they've got to pace it out, or they're going to continue to lose on lifetime licenses. All right, got some more text. What about the existing lifetime license holder? Are we included for gear license fee? Are we grandfathered in? The answer is yes, you are. You made a good decision to buy it. And with all this going on, I bet there's going to be a run on buying lifetime licenses before this bill gets settled. All right, where does the revenue go? What does it fund? Well, it funds every operation of the wildlife and fisheries, seafood testing, enforcement, programs to study Asian carp, feral hogs, you name it. If it has to do with hunting or fishing or environment, wildlife and fisheries funds it. It's a very important agency, and it's been improperly funded for so long. Here's one that says, no tourism dollars. We need to get Lieutenant Governor involved. That's the colonel from Hammond. Well, let me tell you, the tourism dollars, they're suffering too. With COVID, they've lost a lot of funding. They're fighting for every dollar. But I agree that the Wildlife and Fisheries Department, our fishery resources, definitely is a tourist attraction, and we should get some money from tourism for the fishermen. All right, we got lots more texts. We'll get to those later on. Right now, we got to take a break, and we'll come back with Born on the Bayou's Mike Gallo. It's fishing report time. We'll be back right after this. And the Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo, sponsored by CETO. $179 for a whole year membership, unlimited fuel drops, 24/7 tow-ins, jump starts for electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back safe and sound. CETO is like having AAA on the water. To get signed up, one call away, Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or simply click to CETO.com. Captain Mike Gallo joins us, and Mike, what a rough weather week this has been. Don't expect to get a lot of fishing reports from you, but what would you give as advice to people who are going to be headed out following these high winds and these, you know, almost tropical type rainfall?
Well, the wind has been out of the north for quite some time, and that'll make the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain and the northern side of Lake Bourne clear up first. And some of those areas around Goose Point in Lake Pontchartrain, a lot of that's a sand bottom, and a sand bottom will clear up much quicker than a mud bottom. So I would be in those areas to start. There's also some grass beds along there, and that also helps clean up the water. So I would be on the north shoreline of any particular waterway that I wanted to fish in. We know from the telemetry program that fish generally head to deep water whenever we have a bad weather event. So if you could combine those cleaner water areas that are near some deep water, you're probably going to put the odds in your favor.
Got it. Mike, I started to get some decent reports from the bridges in Pontchartrain on trout, and then all this weather broke and people couldn't get out. Did you get in on any of that, or any of your guides?
Yes, we did have some pretty good trips in Lake Pontchartrain, and it seems like twice already this spring we've had our water temperatures rise and get to about 68 to 72 degrees and kind of stabilize, and you really see the aggressiveness of the fish pick up. You catch more of them, and then, of course, we have another bit of cold and lots of wind and rain, and the sun hadn't been out for quite some time, so it lowers the water temperature, and we'll be back to having fish that are not quite so aggressive here when it does break loose. But it's not too far. The temperature, the water temperature is not too far from that 70-degree mark that we like to say gets them really going. So it won't be long. You know, our days are getting longer, whether we like it or not. And before you know it, we'll be in 90-degree weather, wishing it was a little bit cooler.
Right. Mike, you deal with a lot of out-of-state fishermen that come here. Have you had many people complain about the cost of their non-resident license?
No, not at all, Don. Most of my clientele say it's a bargain to be able to fish in Louisiana for $10. The charter trip pass is $10 at the moment, and it's actually a three-day pass. And a lot of my customers that come in for one day, when you mention that to them, the next time they call and book, they may book 2 days. So it's sort of a selling point to have them do an extra trip the next time they come down. But it's really not that much for the best fishing in the country.
No question about it. Also, Mike, what about the license fees for new charter boat captains? Would you think that that could stand an increase, or do you think you're being sufficiently license feed on that one?
I'm on the fence. I do believe that we're being sufficiently feed, but at the same time, our wildlife and fisheries is in charge of protecting the resource that we rely on to make our living. So if they need some extra funds to make sure that there are fish in the water for us to catch, then I'm all for it. So I guess that puts me on the fence.
Yeah, well, you know, I was surprised to hear that they haven't included a sunset clause on this. I think that's the key to getting any increases done. If you absolutely, without a doubt, unmistakably, undeniable, like they say in The Wizard of Oz, absolutely dedicated, and that money cannot be used for any purpose other than for the one that it's dedicated for. And if it is, the sunset comes in and it reverts back to the original fee. I think that's the whole key to getting this thing pushed through. People do not mind getting what their money's worth. As a charter captain, you know your customers. They're not willing. They're willing to pay your fees, but they expect to get a decent, you know, trip in return. It's no different. Any business is like that. In the business of wildlife and fisheries, is no different. Give the people what you promise for their money. Promise that their money will be used for that purpose, and they'll support you. But right now, there's just so much distrust in government. It's going to be a hard sell. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, Don. If the money is specifically allocated for the wildlife fisheries to protect the resource and the environment, then the fishermen are going to be all in. The problem is, like you said, we've been burned in the past, so we're cautious, you know, because some things we don't want to support, and that money goes to that. So you're right. You're 100% correct, and I'm sure you always bring us up-to-date information, and it's always accurate. So I'm sure you'll keep us informed as to what's going on as we go forward in this process.
Well, Mike, you can count on that. Mike, if you would, tell us how people can get you if they want to book a trip, maybe come spend some time at the lodge, and get that trip in before the license fee goes up.
Very simple. You can find me on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. We're on Facebook under Angling Adventures. Or you can call me on the reliable telephone, which is 985-781-7811.
All right, Captain Mike, thanks for the report. We'll see you next week.
All right, Don, talk to you then. That voice is sounding much better.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, coming back after this, it's paddle time. Paddlepalooza. Our reporter, Brendan Bayard, is on site. He's got a report for us right after this. And our Paddler's Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presentation of Massey's Outfitters, Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington. In fact, they have live demo days every month on the first weekend of the month. Next one will be the first weekend in May. They hold them on Bayou St. John, right near the Dutch's House. The newest Jackson and Hobie kayaks for you to try before you buy. Brendan Bayard is at Paddlepalooza 17. Brendan, boy, it doesn't seem like it's been 17 years. Tell us about Paddlepalooza. Where is it, and how's the competition going to work today?
It's been 17 years. We traditionally hold Paddlepalooza down the LA-1 corridor. You can fish pretty much anywhere in Lafourche Parish. You can also fish Grand Isle. You're talking about the old Gators. Our Basehans launch area is the northernmost launch down through Golden Meadow, Leeville, Fouchon, Grand Isle. So anglers can launch anywhere in that boundary and compete to try to catch a slam, which is a redfish, a trout, and a flounder on an approved measuring device. Upload it to the app. Hopefully that's the last time we have to do the app situation here with the COVID kind of times we're living in. But it should go pretty smoothly. We have a judge sitting at home, standing by, judging all the fish as they come in. And we have, 120 anglers, and we're ready to hit the water. Despite a little bit of dirty water out here, people are catching fish.
Well, at the risk of your competition eavesdropping and picking up some of your secrets, what's your game plan for today?
Normally, you're kind of swinging for the fences in this tournament. I think today is kind of more of a go for those guaranteed spots you can early. Don't worry about size. Just kind of get a fish or two in each species group. Try to go for clean water, go into some of those filtered areas where there's a lot of marsh, kind of filtering some of this water. There's, a lot of open water out here now with all these storms coming through. So it takes a little bit more patience to try to explore some different areas and find that clean water. So that's most of the challenge we're going to have today. But I was riding all up and down yesterday, found a few good pockets of clean water. I'm going to hit those today, try to get any size trout, any size redfish, and then look for that flounder. And if I catch that flounder, then I'll start upgrading those other fish to some nicer ones. I just really want to concentrate on getting three and see where that shakes out, because the conditions are not great. We have storms coming through maybe in the afternoon, and I just want to take what I can get right now.
We're talking with Brendan Bayard. He's fishing the Paddlepalooza kayak tournament. You catch a big red, you catch a nice trout. You got to admit, the flounder is the game changer. That's the clincher right there. Give us some tips on specifically trying to target flounders. What do you do?
I like to fish flounder in areas that have structure and rubble on the bottom. Wherever you would find minnows, like if you like to go and throw a cast net, if you've ever gone to places and you see these areas where minnows congregate on the banks, those kind of areas are the areas that I like to fish for flounder. Obviously a little bit off the bank, but, close proximity. Those are ambush hunters. I mean, you're talking about groups of pilings, old camps, outflows from marsh drains, any of those kind of little areas. I would just concentrate, and you just got to work that bait really slow. Live minnows are a great way to catch them. We have live bait allowed this tournament. And then something like gulp on a jig head, work slowly on the bottom. Those two things are probably the most go-to ways to catch flounder around here. Proximity of where they're coming back in from the gulf. I mean, they tend to go out in the winter months, and they start coming back in February. We're into April, so they might be well into the estuary at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised if people caught them, all the way to the northern boundary of this tournament right now. But depending on when the tournament falls each year, is sometimes if it's earlier, you can specifically target them towards the coast. But I think they're everywhere right now.
Good stuff, Brendan. Before you go, I'm looking at these proposed license fees. They will require paddlecraft to register at $15 if it's approved. 100% of that money will go to the Aquatic Plant Control Fund. I think it's probably time to put something on the Bayou Coast Club's website and maybe get a feel. Would you think that the paddlers would support a $15 paddlecraft registration fee?
Possibly. I mean, it's just, you know, the kind of, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, use the money on where you say it's going to be used is, I think, the most skeptical visions that are going to be popping through people's head. But, I mean, if it's in a dedicated fund to use it, I mean, I think we're all conservationists in our heart. We want to see our estuary protected. So if, you know, if it's $15 to, you know, make some new marshlands or plant some grass, I mean, I think it's a small price to pay. I hope there's some protections put in place for that money.
That's what I told Brian, that it's not about the money. $15 for a whole year, come on. It's not that. You know, you spend that on beer money for some folks. But it's whether that money will be used for the Aquatic Plant Control Fund. They said there'll be a cap of $5 million. Any overage goes into the conservation fund. And that conservation fund, although it's constitutionally dedicated, they find ways to pull that money out of there. And I think if they put a sunset on it, say, look, the money was taken from the conservation fund, diverted for another purpose, that $15 registration is no more, then I think you'd get a lot of support for it.
Yeah, exactly. My feelings exactly.
Well, Brendan, instead of worrying about registration fees, you got to catch three fish. So go get them, my friend, and we'll be looking for you in the winner's circle next week.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
Thank you. Brendan Bayard, one of our reporters. Actually, we'll have Eric Mohabarak next week, and Brendan will be back with us the week after. Coming back right after this, well, y'all chose Laplace for our bad boy. Animal abusers, got a pair of them. Their story's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting back to some of your text messages, some kind of way, some of our listeners thought this was a discussion on speckled trout limits because there's a lot of suggestions and comments about that, but that certainly is an important topic, but it'll have to be for another day. Here's one that wants to know, that stolen money, was it ever put back? When I say stolen money, I told Brian, last count, this is 3 years ago, 2018, as of then, $65 million was diverted from the conservation fund by governors and politicians. With that kind of a track record, it's hard to get license fees increased. And no, to my knowledge, that money was never paid back. It wasn't a loan. It was basically a theft. Here's one wants to know about date of purchase for a year instead of June to June or July to July. Yeah, most states I buy a non-resident license for, you get 1 year from the date you buy it. I think that's something they should look at. And because a lot of times people have to buy 2 years licenses to only make two fishing trips. So that's another consideration. Thanks for bringing that up. And let's see, how much will, I think we talked about the lifetime license. And we also have more speckled trout questions and comments. And let's see, we got this one wants to know, another one, want it to be good for a whole year. And this one says, I don't mind paying my cost to hunt and fish. I do have a problem with the commercial sector and what increases are being passed on to, they're benefiting just as much as the fishermen. Yeah, there are commercial increases proposed. If you go on the Wildlife and Fisheries Facebook page, you'll see exactly what those are. And those are definitely long overdue. And the commercial fishermen feel the same way. They don't mind spending the money if it's put into the use that it's proposed for. Someone else is suggesting a seafood tax passed on to the seafood buying public. That's something that could be considered, too. All right, fines not high enough for poaching, but if you're a judge like the one from a couple years ago, you don't have anything to worry about. Yeah, right. You know, the thing about assigning these high fees, it's great to put it on people, But if they don't, you can't squeeze blood out of a stone. You know what I mean? If they don't have the money, you can't get it. But, of course, there's work programs, and I'm sure that could be another source of income. All right, right after we pause these 10 seconds, back with the story of a couple of animal abusers from Laplace. They're our bad boys of the outdoors. Coming up right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On March 30th, Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents, Senior Agent Gerald Sander, Sergeant Thomas Wolf, and Senior Agent Austin Landry participated in citing a Laplace man and an unnamed juvenile for alleged cruelty to an animal violation. The agents received multiple complaints about a video on social media showing Sylvester Oob kicking an anhinga. In case you're not familiar with the name of this water bird, if you spend any time in the freshwater rivers and bayous of Louisiana, you've probably seen them diving from the tree branches, feeding on fish underwater. The juvenile recorded the incident, then, like most kids today, proceeded to proudly post the video on social media. Ooh, bad move, Junior. Real bad. Agents made contact with the juvenile and Oob, and they said they were fishing in the Belterre Country Club pond when they hooked the anhinga, and that is when the incident took place. If convicted of simple cruelty to animals, facing a maximum fine of $1,000 and 6 months in jail, or 18-year-old Sylvester Oob of Laplace and an unidentified juvenile are bad boys of the outdoors. And you know, most of these stories have morals, and the moral of this one is, if you're going to kick something, stick to footballs, and be kind to animals, even if it's like an anhinga and has a funny name. We'll be back with Captain Ryan Lambert's report right after this. And Captain Ryan Lambert joins us now. Ryan, Plaquemines Parish, how did it make out during these terrible storms? Some of these things, I mean, that one over by Fouchon that overturned that boat is a horrible story. Did you guys make out okay over there?
We did. It was windy and stuff, and I was watching that cell on radar, and it was coming at us, and it had a counterclockwise rotation to it, and it made it dip to the south, and when it did, it went to them, and I watched it the whole time. I mean, I could see the lightning. It was just horrendous the whole day, but yeah, I was afraid of that one, and for good reason. It was. It's been one heck of a week. I mean, 8 out of 9 days look like the photos down here. There's so much lightning popping. And, you know, we get out before, we get out after, but we got out every day. We had we lost probably 16 customers that didn't fish. They went home, didn't want to wait because it was their second day or something. But for the most part, we got out and we caught a lot of fish. You know, all redfish because you can't. The trout is almost impossible to get to when it's like that. And the water stays murky. I mean, when you get 60, 80-mile-an-hour winds on thunderstorms, it just, you know, you just got to survive a fish. And thank God we know how to get around and still catch fish when it's like that. You know, we're very blessed to have places we can go and on either side of the river to get away from it. So, but fishing for the most part, other than redfish, has been really tough with all those things. But, you know, it should turn this week. We're going to have a nice week, and those fish should start moving out to outside toward the beaches a little bit and out toward the islands and, you know, the little bitty islands. So we ought to be able to get to them this week, and I'm hoping to catch a bunch of trout. I'm ready.
When do you think it'll be time to try out the green monster? You know, those things have a history of turning on real quick and producing some fish.
Really, really quick, but that historically is July, June, July fishing. You know, in the summertime when those big girls come that way and, you know, the fish are on the beach and we'll slide out there and go try that. So that's summertime, and the river's got a lot to do with it. And with the rain in the Mississippi Valley, it's at 14.7. And, I, you know, they said it was going to come down to 10 in May. I don't see it anymore. I just, you know, we're lucky if it don't go to 17. You know, just guessing. But we got some water in the Mississippi Valley now because those lows have been going right across there every day. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll just slide to the west a little bit. There's trout there. We'll slide to the north. We'll go to the different islands, whether it be Breton or Goshen or wherever. But, you know, when we went dry, we'll go get them. You just have to go get them. That's all. You can't be scared.
Well, you're going to be looking at. No, I know you ain't scared. You ain't been scared for years. We're looking at some north wind. Is that why you're looking to the west maybe to find cleaner water, tighter up against maybe some of the shorelines or whatever marsh is left over there?
Well, there's not much left. You know, we have the Barrier Islands, you know, on the beach that we did. But the only good thing, that north wind will push the water coming out of Tiger and Red and Southwest Pass. It'll push it out and away from us, which makes our water clearer. So if we get some calmer days, that water will be good, and it doesn't take much for them fish to move. I mean, they'll just follow that good water and bait no matter where it goes. So, you know, they just don't sit in a spot like folks think. They on the move. Now, in Lake Pontchartrain, they might sit around there and they stay in the lake, but the fish on the coast, they're always moving. You know, you'll smash them one day, and next day they'll be gone. They follow the bait to wherever the good water is. So every day you just got to look around. We just don't have enough fish in the state right now to disperse everywhere like it used to be. So they'll come back. Well, you know, it just takes time.
Beginning Monday, department's going to be introducing – actually, they have a legislator introducing some license fee increases. And you get an awful lot of people come from all over the world to fish and hunt with you. They're talking about going to a non-resident 5-day fishing license for like, well, $30 for 5 days. Well, it would cost $60 total. Or if you went with if they're going to hunt and fish, which you get a lot of people that do that, that would be the Sportsman's Paradise license where you get to basically do everything. That one I think would cost a non-resident a total of about $120, somewhere around that, for 5 days.
Yeah.
What do your people tell you when they come and you tell them what the license fee is? Do they say it's a bargain? Is it too high? Or is there room for us to go up on it?
Well, there's always room to go up, but the only thing, you know, there's a guide license right now. It's $10 for 3 days. So,
right,
you know, and we bring the people in. We take care of the license. I have the machine right here at the lodge. We take care of everything, and I really don't want to see that change much because, you know, when they go to Florida, they don't need a license at all. If they have a captain, they can step right on with him. And we even at the $10, we hear that a lot. But I don't think going to $20 on that license is going to change anybody's mind about coming. But if you get too crazy, you know, it makes a difference. But if they're coming on their own, you know, that's license fee. But I don't know. I don't know if they'll keep a chartered license or not. We'll just have to wait and see what they come up with. But I'd like to see them keep a charter license, and if they have to go up on it a little bit, you know, that's fine. You know, I mean, we got to preserve it, but, you know, take care of the money we're getting from it. You know, it's not always spent where we'd like to see it.
No, it's not. All right, so they're talking about for a duck hunter, comes in 5 days, $100 for the stamp and the license. That's not a lot,
yeah,
is it?
No, it's not a lot. If you're going to anywhere else to hunt, I guess that's about what it is. But who hunts 5 days? I mean, none of my customers are going to hunt 5 days. So, you know, right now I have a $29 license that they can buy, and it takes care of, you know, it's a day. So they already spending, you know, $48, $58 on it. So, you know, on a two-day hunt, most of them are spending $58 for the license anyhow. So, you know, making it 5 days, nobody, unless you come on a vacation with your own boat, then you're going to pay, you know, you might stay 5 days. But my customers normally, most, you know, 2 days and 3 days at the most, and then they're out of here.
Got it. Well, Ryan, tell people how to get a hold of it if they're interested in coming down there. Boy, we got a really good-looking week of weather coming up according to the forecast. If somebody wants to get in on it, how do they find you?
Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me direct at 504-559-5111. And my duck hunting season is almost booked already because in January we have 20 days we cannot hunt because we'll have negative tides between -5 and -1.1, and you just can't hunt them. So I got all those days I won't even be able to hunt, so I'll be going to Noliasi.
All right. Thanks for the report, Ryan. We'll see you next week, bud.
I got it. See you, buddy.
All right, we come back after this. Well, I'm going to tell you about National Wildlife Refuge hunting. They're talking about expanding some opportunities, including more species, and they're asking you for your public input. I'll tell you how to do that. Plus, we say goodbye to a Louisiana fishing legend. We'll tell you her story right after this. All right, got plenty of comments with regard to license fees, and most of them say the same thing. If they're protected from our politicians who rob the funds, they would be for license increases across the board. Also, we've got duck habitat problems that need to be addressed. Not only do we have a duck crisis, we got a turkey crisis, we're on the brink of a flounder crisis, speckled trout, all of that is in need of revamped and studies and management programs, and money would certainly go a long way in handling that. But again, if it's guaranteed for that purpose, then I think the sportsman will support it. We'll let you know how that develops as the session kicks off with the bill on Monday. Now, if you hunt any of these places, Bayou Sauvage, Bayou Teche, Big Branch Marsh, Bogachitta, Cat Island, Delta, Mandalay, National Wildlife Refuges, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is looking for comments on some proposed hunting program changes on those areas. The public's invited to look at the program and then comment on it. And I got to tell you, I looked it over, and they are looking to increase hunting opportunities. When's the last time you heard that? The deadline for your comments is going to be 60 days following the publication, which is going to happen probably next week. So you got a couple of months to check it out and make sure you comment. You can do that by mailing it to the email to Southeast Louisiana Refuges. You can find them on the web, or you can mail it to the Lacombe address, 613890 Highway 434, Lacombe, or you can fax it to 985-882-9133, and you can find all of those addresses on the website of Southeast Louisiana National Wildlife Refuges. Very important. There's a lot of opportunity on those places. They've some of it, some pretty decent hunting, and they're looking to expand it. So take a look at it and get your comments in. Now, if you enjoy watching our show, Bayou Wild TV, we invite you to talk fishing and hunting at one of our recording locations, Etouffee's Authentic Cajun Cuisine. Stop by. Martha and I and Chris LeCocq are there on Mondays. We'll be there on a week from Monday, April 26th, the next time. Stop by there, get a great meal, and chat about some hunting and fishing with us. By the way, if you haven't seen this week's Bayou Wild TV, Chris Macaluso joined us, did an outstanding job on talking about the Maurepas Swamp Diversion Project. I know a lot of diversion projects on the Mississippi are very controversial. They're trying to find a happy medium between dredging and diverging. I don't think anybody's opposed to this one. That was a naturally freshwater area, and they look to restore it to that and actually enhance it. So check out Bayou Wild TV. Go to BayouWildTV.com or on YouTube, and all the stations and airtimes are listed there. Finally, we say goodbye to someone who became a good friend of mine. I called her the First Lady of Louisiana Fishing. I'm talking about Kay Florane. She was the original rod and reel gal. She started a program where she collected used, sometimes in need of repair, rods and reels. She fixed them up and gave those to kids who couldn't afford or didn't have the resources to purchase them. She spent 14 years as the director of the City Park Big Bass Rodeo. She joined another close friend, Danica Williams, in the Wish to Fish program, helping kids get to fish. She was a volunteer aquatic education instructor for wildlife and fisheries. And as I said in the Facebook posting, you can see a little trip we went on. Chris LeCocq put together a little segment when I fished with Mike Gallo and Danica and also with Kay. And you can find that on the Bayou Wild TV Facebook page. And, you know, she was a great person. She was a really good fisherman. She was very generous. Even though she had no children of her own, every kid she met, she basically adopted them as her very own and helped them become better fishing persons. She also was a great joke teller, and she liked a cold beer after the fishing trip. So we could say goodbye, but not forgotten. Rhonda K. Florane succumbed to a long battle with cancer, And glad we got to know her, and certainly hope to see her on the other side. We hope to see you next week. I'll be leaving out of here headed for Fort McCavitt, Texas. Going to chase some real turkeys around. Got a wedding to attend over there. And you'll be hearing this program from Bryan, Texas next week, where we give you all the information you need. We'll be back to do it all over again. It's our two-hour journey to the great outdoors. And have a great weekend. Enjoy this good week that's coming up of weather. We certainly had a rough one, to put that one behind us. Get out there and do some turkey hunting or fresh or saltwater offshore fishing. And we'll talk about it right here next week on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.